Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well this morning. Before we get started today, last week I mentioned an app called Dwell. It's a scripture reading app that I find helpful in my own life. And last week we were talking about how the Holy Spirit uses scripture. He uses God's words to encourage us and instruct us and to remind us and to comfort us. But we need to be in and around God's words in order for the Holy Spirit to use them. So exposing ourselves to scripture regularly is an essential part of the Christian life. But if your life is anything like my life, there are all kinds of idle moments in my life where I'll just turn on the TV or turn on some music or a podcast just because, for no particular reason. Well, in those moments, we could use an app like Dwell to turn the idle moments into opportunities for the Holy Spirit to use Scripture in our lives. Well, all of this to say, this week, we got a Peter's Creek subscription to the Dwell app. So if you want to try it out for a couple of months for free, then you can go to our website at peterscreekbaptist.com. And right there on the front page, there should be a link where you can set up your own username under the Peter's Creek account. So I know a couple of people have reached out to me asking about the app. Well, here you go. You can give it a try under the Peter's Creek account. And if you have any technology questions, have trouble figuring it out, you can give us a call and we can try to help you out. But that's what we got for you is the Dwell app. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our study in the Holy Spirit. Last week, we spent time learning about what the Bible says, who the Holy Spirit is. And this week, we're going to look a little deeper at what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to begin our conversation this week with this truth from Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new is come." When we put our faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we are a new creation, which is good news because before we came to Christ, we all had some junk in our past, right? We all had some things that we weren't proud of. We all had some things in our past that we were ashamed of. But the Bible says that when we come to Christ, the old has passed away and God is making us into something new. To repeat a phrase that we've said around here often, Christianity teaches that God accepts everyone as they are, but he doesn't leave them that way. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. And because of Jesus, God accepts you just as you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's more. The gospel also teaches that God loves us so much that not only did he send Jesus to die for our sins, but God loves us too much to leave us the way that he found us. One of my new quarantine traditions has been watching HGTV marathons, but I only watch like the Fixer Upper type shows. Do you ever watch these shows? Where at the beginning of the show, there is this house that's in really bad shape. And then by the end of the show, it's been transformed into something completely different. A new creation, if you will. Well, this is what the Bible says that God is doing in us. We are the fixer-upper. And not just the kind that just needs a coat of paint or some shiplap. No, the Bible says that we are one of those episodes on HGTV where they open up a wall and they realize that the foundation is compromised. Or that the floor joists are rotten, or that it's infested with termites. Have you ever seen these kind of episodes? They usually reveal the big giant problem real dramatically right before the commercial break. And I spend the entire break mumbling to myself, it's going to hurt their budget, and they're going to need to call in some professionals for this one. And that's exactly the picture that the Bible gives of us. Before Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit to his disciples in that upper room, God promised that his Holy Spirit was coming all the way back through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel says this: "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Notice the renovation project here. It's not just a coat of paint and some TLC that we need. God says that we need a new heart because our old one is hardened like stone. Yeah, we need to be made into something new, into a new creation. And look at how God says that he's going to do that. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Notice how it's not obey all of my rules and then I'll give you my spirit. No, God says that I will accept you as you are with your heart of stone. I will give you a new heart and then I will put my spirit within you and make you into a new creation, one that walks in the statutes of God and is careful to obey the commands of God. And this promise that God made back in the book of Ezekiel is right in line with the promise that Jesus told to his disciples. When Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you. And this same promise is right in line with the promise that is made to people like us in places like this in Ephesians that says, in Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And the same promise made in Ezekiel and the same promise that's made to us in Ephesians and made in Jesus in the upper room is the promise that the Holy Spirit is going to be making us into something new. And the Bible also gives us a picture of how the Holy Spirit is going to be doing this work in us, how the Holy Spirit is making us into new creations. This is the part that answers the question, what is the Holy Spirit doing inside of us? Well, the answer that we're going to look at today can be summarized in one word. Yeah, in the Bible, the work of the Holy Spirit can be summarized in one word. Any guesses what that word might be? 2 Thessalonians says this, through sanctification by the Spirit. So the one word is sanctification. And notice how in this passage, sanctification is connected to the Holy Spirit, to the work of the Spirit. And when you read through the Bible, sanctification is a big deal. Such a big deal that sanctification is actually called the will of God. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And the will of God is that big ominous phrase that Christians throw around when we're talking about what God wants to happen in the world and what God wants to happen in your life. Oftentimes the phrase will of God gets used interchangeably with God's plan. And here it says that God's plan for your life and for my life is sanctification. Do you see that? So what is sanctification? Well, here's the fancy theological definition of sanctification. Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Jesus in our actual lives. Sanctification is the process by which the Holy Spirit begins to change us from something that we used to be into something new. So what do these changes look like? Well, the Bible says that as the Holy Spirit is changing us, the Holy Spirit will leave behind evidence. The Holy Spirit will leave behind little footprints to show where he has been and what he's doing in our lives. And the Bible has a name for this evidence. The Bible calls it fruit. In the book of Galatians, we find this familiar passage. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You've probably heard this verse before. You might even know the song that goes with it from Vacation Bible School. But this verse is telling us that when the Holy Spirit is transforming us, he leaves behind evidence in the form of these nine character traits. As the Holy Spirit is changing us, all of a sudden, we will start to see these qualities begin to appear or grow in our character. To which you might think, wait, that's it? The Holy Spirit that can raise people from the dead. The Holy Spirit that made the Virgin Mary pregnant, and then when it comes to my turn, I get fruit. What about my circumstances? What about my finances? What about my thinning hair? Can't the Holy Spirit direct his power towards those things? Where is the power in fruit? Well, before we get too dismissive, look closely at some of the character traits that are described here. Does anybody need some peace in their life right now? I think the whole world could use some peace right now. What about kindness and gentleness. Have you ever gone on social media lately? Everybody could use some kindness and some gentleness. What about faithfulness and self-control? Isn't it true that in the moments of our life where we made our biggest mistakes and our biggest regrets, what we were lacking is self-control and faithfulness? What about patience? Because even though some of these character traits might not be at the top of our list of the things that we would like the Holy Spirit to do in our life, maybe the people around us wish they were. Because don't you want your husband or your wife to have more of these? Don't you want your kids to have more of these? Kids, don't you want your parents to have more of these? Don't you want your coworkers to have more of these? I sure do. Just kidding. My coworkers are all full of the Spirit at all times. But the fact that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you, and one of the things that he's doing in us is producing these character traits, this should tell us something about God and what God finds important in us. Because if you're anything like me, I get really consumed with what will become of my life. But it seems that God is more concerned with who I will become in my life. Do you see how the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives shows that we are being changed, but it shows it in our character? Remember, Jesus says that the world will know that we are his followers by our what? Our love. And love just so happens to be one of the fruit of the Spirit. So these character traits are more than just being a good person. Now, these character traits are the evidence of the Holy Spirit's activity in our life. These changes in our lives, in our character, in this way, this is what identifies us as being followers of Jesus. Now, maybe you're looking at this list and you're thinking, uh-oh, I don't have all those. Or I am seriously lacking in some of those. If you're anything like me, my first reaction is, what do I have to do to get more of these to grow in my life? We'll take a look back at the definition of sanctification. It says that sanctification is a progressive work of God and man. Notice how it says a work of God and man. This means that the Holy Spirit in his work in our life, in making us into a new creation that is more like Jesus, this is a work that the Holy Spirit does, but we are also going to take part in that work. It's not all on us to change, but we are involved in that process. And there are good ways to be involved and not so good ways to be involved. When I was in first grade, we planted seeds in cups of soil that were clear, so that we could learn about plants and we could watch the seed as they grow. But my seed never grew because I'd always stick my finger in the cup and root around in the dirt and get in the way of everything that was trying to grow. In the same way, though the Holy Spirit is the one who grows the stuff in us, we have the potential of getting in the way. So what part do we play in this process? What part do we play in the Holy Spirit's work in our life? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives this warning. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." And maybe you've heard this verse before. Maybe it came in the form of a don't drink alcohol lecture. And whoever told you that used this verse to say, "Hey, see, the Bible even says, don't drink alcohol, it leads to debauchery." And you're thinking, what in the world does debauchery mean? But this verse right here, it's not primarily about alcohol. This verse is primarily about influence. And when Paul talks about alcohol, he uses it to appeal to something that we all know to be true, that alcohol influences people. That's why we have phrases like under the influence of alcohol. And what we mean when we say this is that when alcohol is present in somebody's system, it influences the way that they conduct themselves. Isn't that true? Haven't we all seen that guy at the Steeler game that's had one too many and then he starts conducting himself differently? He says things that he wouldn't normally say. He does things that he wouldn't normally do. He makes decisions that he wouldn't normally make. Everything about him is influenced by alcohol. And Paul says, you've seen this picture of influence. It leads to debauchery and bad decisions and regrets. But Paul says, I want to show you a different picture of influence. And that picture is being filled with the Spirit. And these two pictures of influence have something in common. And that is that these influences, they affect every area of your life. The presence of alcohol influences the way that you talk, the way that you act, the decisions that you make. It influences everything. And in the same way, when you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it should influence every part of our lives as well. The way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we make our decisions. Everything about us should be influenced by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So is it? Is the Holy Spirit having influence on your life and on my life? Notice this word, be, here. This is a command word. Be filled with the Spirit. And a command implies that we have some sort of responsibility in the matter. It wouldn't be fair to give somebody a command if they didn't have the power to carry it out. Like, Dusty, you should be taller. I have no control over that. It's not fair. It's not a real command. But when God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must have some responsibility. We must have some part in this process. Now, we're not responsible for getting the Holy Spirit. God took care of that one for us. We aren't responsible for growing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is taking care of that for us. But we are responsible for allowing ourselves to be influenced by the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. Our responsibility is to put ourselves in a position at all times to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes to alcohol, the measure of influence is not determined by how much alcohol you have, because different people can tolerate different amounts of alcohol. So the question is not how much alcohol did you have. The better question is, how much does alcohol have of you? In the same way, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, the question isn't how much of the Spirit do you have. The question is, how much of you does the Spirit have? When it comes to your life, if we were to make your life or my life into a pie chart, what section of the pie chart would you say you're allowing to be influenced by God? You know, what part of your pie chart represents how much you allow God to influence your life? Is it like pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving kind of slice? Or is it like the amount of money I want to pay in taxes kind of slice? Because in your life and in my life, there is a battle every day of our life over influence. Unlike Paul's example, maybe the battle in your life is not between the Holy Spirit and alcohol. And instead, the battle for influence might be between the influence of the Holy Spirit and the influence of your coworkers or your classmates or the people that you follow on social media. I mean, our world even has a category for certain people on social media. We call them influencers. Maybe for you, the battle is between the Holy Spirit and your money, or the Holy Spirit and your career, or your approval. Or maybe the battle for influence of your life is between the Holy Spirit and whatever political camp that you've planted your flag in. Whatever the battle is, there is always someone or something who is ready and willing to influence your life in some way. So the question is, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you, or are you being influenced by something else? And you might ask, but Dusty, what does being influenced by the Holy Spirit even look like? Well, the Bible says that it looks like walking. Galatians chapter 5 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. All those things that you know you shouldn't do, but then you end up doing anyway, and then you hate that you keep doing them. The kind of things that we're constantly trying to stop ourselves from doing again, those are the desires of the flesh. And this verse says the best way to stop all of those things is not to try harder. It's not to have better strategies. It's not to be better. It says the best way to stop all those things is to walk by the Spirit. And the reason for this is that when you're walking by the Spirit will never lead you into those places that you shouldn't be going in the first place. The book of James says, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So all those situations where you gave in and you did that thing that you shouldn't have done, James says the chances are you are the one who walked yourself into that situation. And if you want things to change in your life, then you need to walk with the Holy Spirit instead. Do you see that? I'm not a dog person. And I know by even saying that, some of you have written me off forever. I have nothing against dogs. I've just never had a dog of my own. I've never actually even had a pet. But I have noticed some things about dogs. Like, everybody takes their dog for a walk, but that walk can look very different from dog to dog. Some dogs, they will jump up on anything and anyone that comes near them in any way. And when this happens, the owner tries to pull them back with the leash, and they always say things like, "Oh, I don't know what's gotten into him. He never does this." And I'm like, no, he always, always does this. Every time I have seen your dog, he does this. These are the kind of dogs that jump on anything and run around all crazy. That when they're out on a walk, you wonder who is walking who. Have you seen dogs like this? Other dogs, when they're out on the trail, they walk beside their master just fine. They're doing really well on the leash, but every now and again, they lose their mind. And when a squirrel crosses the path, or when another dog comes walking the other way, they just lose it and they go completely berserk. And then they take off running and get yanked back by the leash. And then there are other dogs. I recently saw a dog at Home Depot, and I was like, why is there a dog at Home Depot? Maybe he's working on his doghouse or something. But it was a big, big dog. And his owner was leading him up and down the busiest aisles and into the loudest parts of the store. And then the owner took the leash off of the dog. Turns out this dog was being trained. And part of the training was to go right into the middle of the biggest distractions and the greatest temptations and then learn how to hear and follow and find his master when everything else in his dog body was telling him to do something different. By the time that I left Home Depot, this dog was walking right beside his master with no leash. And amidst every distraction and every temptation, he kept right beside the master step by step by step. I think that's a helpful picture in understanding the verse in Galatians that comes right after the fruit of the Spirit verse. It says this, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." God is the one who gave us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's growing the fruit of the Spirit in us, changing us into something new. And our job is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And this is a relational picture. It's a picture of being so close to someone that when they move, you move with them. And when they step, you step with them. When they walk, you walk. So when it comes to our lives, what does our walk with the Holy Spirit look like? Are we keeping in step with the Holy Spirit? Are we the dog that jumps into trouble the second there's an opportunity? Or are we the one that's learned to walk by the master's side, even in the middle of all the distractions and all the temptations? A long time ago, I was taught a very practical way of implementing this into your own life. We all tend to pray for help in the moment that we need help. But what if we started to pray for the help of the Holy Spirit before the moment that we need it? What if our mornings began by praying through all of the temptations and the distractions and the battle over influences that we're going to be facing throughout the day? And not just generally, but very specifically, because the chances are that the battle that you're going to be facing through the day, you already know that some of those battles are going to be coming. Like, God, I know that today I'm going to be around those people. The ones that make me feel this way, the one that makes me act this way, the ones that make me talk this way. So God, prepare me in advance this morning so that I can keep in step with your Spirit when I interact with them later today. What if we prayed like that? Or maybe for you, the prayer might be, God, I'm going to open up Facebook today, and there's a good chance I might fight somebody or act snarky in some way. So God, please prepare me in advance to keep in step with your Spirit when I log on. Or God, I'm going to turn on the news today, and it might make me sad or mad or scared or defensive or combative. So help me in advance to keep in step with your Spirit as I navigate the happenings of the world right now. Or maybe your prayer might be like this: God, today is going to be another day where the world is not normal. And it's going to wear on me, and it's going to make me depressed, and things are going to get even more challenging today. So God, prepare me in advance to keep in step with your Spirit with whatever today might throw at me. What do you think would happen if we started each day like that? I think at the very least, we would be more aware of the things that battle to have influence over us. And then as we fight these battles, the Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead, who's dwelling inside of us, that same Spirit will begin to grow these kinds of things in us. And through these character traits, with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, God will enable us to walk through any circumstance, good or bad, especially if we're keeping in step with his Holy Spirit. Did you see that this morning? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you are a God who accepted us as we were, but you wouldn't leave us that way, that you sent Jesus to die for our sins, but you loved us too much to leave us the way that you found us, so you gave us your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that we would be more aware of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in our lives. God, I pray that you would begin to grow fruit in our life. All of these character traits, God, I pray that we would begin to see those. And God, I pray that you'd gently show us areas where we are not keeping in step with your Spirit. God, I pray that we would learn to be more aware in our days that we could know in advance of the battles for influence, and that we could begin to give ourselves to the Spirit, to be the kind of people who are so close to the Spirit that when he moves, we move, that we follow even in the midst of distraction and temptation, in the middle of despair and confusion. God, that we would know that your Spirit right there with us is leading us. God, I pray that we would be more aware of your Spirit in our lives, and that we would be more willing to give up ourselves and follow your Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.